RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, New York Times bestselling author and founder of the Peek Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio on RadioMD.
Wow, this segment is so powerful, Michelle. I want to kind of get right to it. Our guest is Christina Pearson, and she was the founder of a website called Trichotillomania Learning Center. And what this is this is all about what we call body-focused repetitive disorder. And that means, you know, women who pull at their hair anywhere on their body, women who are picking at themselves. There's the nail biters, there's the cuticle. It goes on and on. It's very self-destructive, highly associated with sort of an obsessive, anxiety base. And we just don't hear enough about it. And I am so excited to have Christina on. So, Christina, welcome to Her Radio. And very briefly, tell us your story.
Okay. First of all, I am so thrilled to be here. And I have a comment on your last segment. My story is that, you know what? I'm a brilliant woman. I'm very smart. I can do just about anything that I choose to, within reason. But I grew up with a condition called trichotillomania, which means the pulling of hair, and I also grew up picking at my skin. And although I could do all these things and was an excellent student, I couldn't control my body. And it made me feel broken, defective, made me feel like a monster. It started at about 12 years old, and it wasn't until I was 33 that I found out that I was not the only person suffering from these overwhelming compulsions. In my 20s, I tried tying my hands together and taping my mouth shut, because not only did I pull my hair, but I would play with it and bite it. And, you know, I just thought I was the most disgusting human being on the world. To make a long story short, at 33, I found out I was missing about 45% of my hair, and I looked like I had chicken pox because I constantly was fiddling with the little scabs on my skin. And I found out I wasn't alone. And not only wasn't I alone, but there were millions of us below the radar. And it struck me immediately, what does this say about our society that we have, metaphorically speaking, we have people rending at their skin and tearing at their hair, and
well,
nobody's talking about
Christina,
it.
Christina, one of the things I want to really get to is, all right, so you have this wonderful Trichotillomania Learning Center, and this is going to help women understand about this compulsive disorder and how they can deal with it. Talk to us about how you dealt with it and what are the treatments here?
Good. Excellent. There is no medication that has ever gotten an FDA indication for treatment of hair pulling or skin picking and related body-focused behaviors. And let me just back up just a moment to make clear what we're talking about. We're talking about the pseudo-grooming kinds of behaviors, not things like cutting or burning. They have no place in the biological spectrum. All of these repetitive behaviors tend to be somewhat soothing, somewhat frustrating, some of them are actually necessary. If you don't bite your nails or file them, they will grow forever. So it's funny how the biology is a little bit different. What I learned was that to get better, I had to throw out a lot of belief systems about how I was going to receive help. I thought I would take a pill and it would go away. Not that easy. The reality is that there is no one cookie cutter approach. It's usually a combination. But what I can tell you is we do get well. You know what? I know women that have picked at themselves for decades who died happy because they no longer struggled. I know people who had no hair for, 20 years, wore a wig, grew all their hair back. So the bottom line is, it's not easy, and we're just at that breaking point of bringing this, similar to eating disorders, bringing this to the public awareness.
To the forefront. And that's why we're doing this, Christina. I mean, to your point, that's exactly what we're doing this. But I want to get to, what are the 14 things somebody should know about repetitive behavior disorder? What are those 14 things?
Okay. Well, essentially, you need to understand that although from the outside it looks like it hurts, it usually doesn't. It does not hurt. And from the outside it looks so simple, well, just stop. That's not as easy as you think. If I said to you, change your breathing and stay conscious and just don't breathe that way anymore, you would, you might even try if I offered you $1 million, but your body will revert to how it naturally breathes the instant your awareness is not on it. So you have to understand that these are impulses that are coming from below the conscious mind, and that it takes a complete kind of micro-assessment of breaking down what is the functionality of it in that person's reality, and then kind of building new tools to help them adapt. Because essentially,
which is part of the treatment, and I know that as a physician, the treatment is really sitting down and learning a lot of cognitive behavioral techniques to be able to sit back and to unlearn a lot of these impulsive behaviors, and to be able to substitute them with healthier behaviors to reframe all of this. And that women should understand, or anybody out there who's got this issue, that this is something that is very much tied into their own DNA, and that the more traumatic, the more stressful their life becomes, a lot of this tends to enhance these repetitive, impulsive behaviors. Because, as you mentioned, Christina, they are self-soothing, and so many people actually self-soothe through anxiety, through stress, through times that are very tough and challenging by doing this. And in many respects, they become dissociated. They don't even realize they're doing it until there you are with no eyebrow, you know. And it's interesting. I think that a lot of people also never mention this to people like myself as a physician and others, because just like with eating disorders and the rest of it, it's filled with shame, blame, and guilt.
Yes.
And you don't want to share.
What's critically important to understand is the body is a beautiful, beautiful symphony of artistic biology that works symbiotically to meet your needs. You don't develop these behaviors out of a vacuum. You develop them because they work for the nervous system. It's not your fault, not like you decided as a little child, oh, let me grow up and develop this.
And one of the things that's really important for us to understand is that there is hope out there. I want everyone to know that here we're talking to Christina Pearson. She has a fabulous website. It's TRICH.org, which stands for the Trichotillomania
Learning Center. Say that three times.
And so make sure to get on over. There is hope. Plenty of people to talk to, lots of wonderful, very productive therapy. And Christina's website is Christina Pearson, that's PEARSON.com, to learn more about this repetitive body-focused
behavior disorder
that can be so detrimental. And, you know, I think it's important for people like, you know, Christina to be on her radio to share her story and to make sure that everyone out there knows that we have hope, that there's hope for this kind of thing, that you shouldn't blame yourself, and you should get on out there and find a therapist. Oftentimes, these are very trained therapists, masters of social work as well as PhDs, who can sit down with you and teach you new tools to be able to substitute for the more self-destructive behaviors. Christina, thank you for being on her radio. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay well.